My Music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. Your chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Once again, it's time for the Royal Academy of Music to welcome some real musical experts. A pleasure to name those four names again. John Amos and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. While here beside me on neutral territory is our scorer, Leonie Lawson. I've been thinking a bit about surnames and how many musical people have names that they share with American towns or cities. Lorna Dallas, for instance, or Dinah Washington. So,
Irving Berlin.
Well, don't... I'm sure there's Berlins all over America. John, which American town or city shares this lady's name?
There's a little town in Minnesota called Verrett, you know.
Called what?
Oh, never mind. I was just fooling. Yes. No, I don't know.
Well, it's a...
Dallas, Callas.
No, no, no. It's a place in America. When you get there's no there there, somebody once said, Frank, didn't they? When you get there's no there there. Gertrude Stein, wasn't it, said that?
I don't know. She probably said it three times, as she did.
No, there.
It was the voice of Victoria de Los Angeles. Los Angeles. And you should have known her voice, John.
Victoria Falls, you've
maybe
heard
pick up
it.
Maybe pick up a mark later.
What a buffalo I am.
Yeah. Frank, another singer, another state, and a city very close to the Rocky Mountain National Park.
Life is so good. Life is so good these days. Life is so good these days. Life is so good.
Interesting lyrics.
Colorado.
Colorado, yes.
John Denver.
Denver, thank you. That is the way to answer questions, Mr. Bury.
Thanks, sir.
Not the way to answer questions.
Thanks, sir. Bernard Mark, please.
Yes.
Was he one of the Colorado Beatles?
A bonus mark, if you please, to Mr. Amos for that remark. Thank you very much. Well, level pegging so far as I move over to the other side. Ian, this singer's whole name represents a West Coast township.
Amico mio, does she not have a dainty breast? She listens carefully to each little tune you play. La bella señorita, si, si, mi muchachita. She'd love to sing it to if only she knew the
word. Sir.
Yes, well, like Frank, I'll give you a very direct answer. He was one of those singers, one of the very few singers who just used an initial for his first name, and he is C. Apple.
I confess myself somewhat confused. Lovely idea, C. Apple. Yeah. Dennis has got the name. You knew it anyway, I think, didn't you, Dennis?
Monty Ray.
Oh, was it Monterey?
Monterey.
Well, I didn't know that that was in America.
Monterey. Oh, Monterey in Northern California, yes.
Oh, Monterey. Oh, it happened in Monterey.
That's right.
Your side happened to Monterey a long time ago.
So your side got it. And Dennis, your own question. Nearer to the other coast and down south for this lady's name.
What is a lady like me doing in a joint like this? What is a lady like me doing in a joint like this? As Marie Antoinette at the guillotine said, Louis, my dear, I think I'm losing my head. What's a lady like me doing in a dump like this?
Yeah, she's insulting great. Her audience. Who is she?
Yeah. Oh, lovely singer. Marion Montgomery.
As in Montgomery, Alabama.
Alabama.
Yes, a lovely singer.
I thought it was Georgia Brown.
Similar. Dial. Let's go around again. Still on musicians' names and American towns. John, a knightly composer who shares a name with a California university. Who would that be?
Stanford.
Berkeley.
That's interesting, you know. Well, Stanford won't do for California, though, will it? I don't think.
Won't it?
Stanford, Massachusetts.
Yeah. No, Stanford. Berkeley, yes, Sir Lennox Berkeley.
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 Berkeley, known as Berkeley, that's right.
That'll in Lennox Avenue.
Frank, not a real person, this, a gambler and a friend of Adelaide.
Nathan Detroit.
Yes, we are getting so crisp these days, yes, and Guys and Dolls, Detroit, Michigan. Ian, very much a real person in his day, principal baritone with the Beecham Opera Company, Peachum in the Beggar's Opera, and a surname that Texans honour.
Mm. Frederick Austin,
yes,
who
right.
gave me, I think, 2 singing lessons and then unfortunately died. Mm. Was a dangerous job giving me singing lessons in those days. He was a lovely man.
Yes, father of Richard Austin, singer too, that's right. Died in 1952. Dennis, the final one for you.
I've grown so lonesome thinking of you, thinking of you.
Goes to show that Bing Crosby wasn't the first crooner. 1927 and 28.
Gene Austin?
Gold discs. Gene Austin. Yeah. That's right. Of Austin, Texas, presumably. Yes. Gene Austin.
Whispering Jack Washington.
Well, Whispering Jack Smith. He was very much a sort of down key crooner type, wasn't he, too? Keats wrote about the pleasures that to verse belong. He'd have to change that to chorus now. Time was when popular songs had verses as well as choruses. I'm going to indicate to you the last line of the verse, and you come in with the first line of the chorus.
Do I?
John.
And he sighed as a hapless lover can.
Hallelujah.
Well, unite, Frank, can you assist? It's a song you love. You revel in singing this song. You love to sing this song.
You are my
witch of the world. Yep. Again, your side has got it. Yes, Velia it was from The Merry Widow.
Thank you, whoever, anonymous lady in the audience. More, please.
Frank, once again, the last line of the verse, and then you come in with the chorus.
It's only once you pass this way, so day by day.
So did the audience?
They all seem to go into one tune. Day come by home, day. Bill Bailey.
It's only once you pass this way, so day by day, and then it goes.
And I'll
spread a little happiness.
The audience was stung in the song.
You didn't get it, though, did you? Ian, the end of the verse.
In your dear, dear face.
Can't think of the words because
the sunshine of your smile.
That's it. That's the one, yes. Well, the sunshine of your smile. The sunlight in your
audition
eyes.
Audition piece.
It's a bit, yes. Dennis, yours isn't terribly easy from the point of view of the words, but the 3 chords that lead into the chorus might help. So I'll sing first and I'll play those chords. I call it singing, you know.
This is what I'd say to you. You were meant for me.
Yes, you were meant for me.
Do you remember Sammy Kahn? I was at a program with Sammy Kahn. He said all verses. I asked him when people wrote songs, was it always a bore to tack the verse on? Yeah. It's always a bore. He said because all you ever did with the verse was simply put in one form or another, which is why I sing.
Yes, which is why I sing. This is why I sing to you. Yeah. John, I'll read you the dictionary definition of a musical instrument. Interrupt me as soon as you know what instrument it is that I'm describing. Valveless brass or copper instrument of treble pitch with wide tube or conical bore, moderate-sized bell and cup-shaped mouthpiece. Notes are merely a few of those of the harmonic series, normally pitched in B-flat.
Trumpet?
No.
Bugle.
Valveless?
Valveless. Oh,
never.
Bugle.
No. Well, half Valveless. A mark because Frank came to your aid. Well, give him a mark. Why not? The bugle. Yes, the bugle. I was delighted, by the way, to see a newspaper reference to someone who was sent to prison for a year for buglery. So, Frank,
I remember as a boy, the church army used to come round on Sunday mornings.
Exactly.
To prison with a lot of the hulks, with a lot of them.
Frank, on the subject of bugles, blow, bugle, blow, set the wild echoes flying, blow, bugle, answer echoes, dying, dying, dying. Who wrote that?
Was it an elf?
Who wrote it?
Who was doing it?
He was not elfin. He was black bearded.
It was, yeah, it was Tennyson. But it's the one with the wild way.
It's in The Princess. It comes after The Splendour Falls on Castle Walls. It's that one.
No, I think it's the elves who are blowing.
Ah, well. Or blowing the bugles.
Yeah, it's the mass trumpeters of the National Elf Service.
Anyway, it is certainly it is Tennyson.
Sweet and low, is there?
You know, Tennyson always moaned about having to sign autographs. Do you know this sweet story? And two young ladies, perhaps cousins, went to take tea with Tennyson in old age. And you know this story, Frank. Lovely story. Hallam Tennyson, when they were leaving, said, "Did you ask my father for his autograph?" And they said, "Good gracious, no." And he said, "Well, I think you'd better." Ian, another quotation. Perhaps you can give it a tune. Bring the good old bugle, boys. We'll sing another song.
Oh, we had this record at home with the wind-up, the old wind-up gramophone, and it was, bring the good old bugle, boys, and sing another song. Sing it with a something that will something world along. Sing it as we used to sing it 20,000 strong. When we were marching through Georgia, hurrah, etc.
Marching through Georgia's, right. Dennis, three sisters from Minneapolis sang a song in the film Buck Privates, which has a bearing on this round. Bugles?
Andrew's sisters?
Yes, the song was?
Boogie Woogie Bugler Boy from Company B.
Yes, on the other side of Bounce Me Brother with a Solid Four. Just for interest, do any of you know what else a bugle can be, apart from a musical instrument? It can be...
Well, a receptacle under the bed, it can be a... you can punch out pastry with a bell.
It doesn't say any of that here, but never mind.
Aren't those long black beads called bugles?
Yes, that's right, a glass bead sewn on a dress, and the name of an American newspaper, of course, or a kind of plant.
It's the name of a hound, too, isn't it?
Bugle hound.
It's a famous, yeah.
let us advance and charge on to the next round. John, come kiss me now. That,
do I have a try?
That is the title of an early English keyboard piece played by Christopher Hogwood. And so on. John, the composer of that held high office under Queen Elizabeth I, even though he was a Roman Catholic, which underlines, I suppose, her tolerance and his genius. He being...
Could have been Byrd.
Yes, William Byrd is the answer. Frank, all the music in this round comes from the Fitzwilliam Virginal book. Volta. Frank, who was Fitzwilliam and where is his memorial to be found?
Well, he was an alderman in Dick Whittington.
I'm not in a position to deny that, am I?
The illegitimate son of somebody called William.
There's
a Fitzwilliam Museum.
Yes, that's the gentleman I had in mind. Richard, 7th Viscount Fitzwilliam. Where is his museum, then, and library?
Well, you go to the chemist's shop, yes. And you turn left, two stores up, and there's no place to park. Cambridge it is.
That's right.
In Cambridge.
It's in Trumpington Street, the library there, and the art gallery, art collection. Ian, more from Christopher Hogwood.
Ian.
Can he be going to ask me about that, I'm saying to myself.
Well, I know, yes. This is the trick. I had to dangle you, see. Ian, if I called a composition Ian Wallace's Conceit, you would be justifiably offended. Why wasn't Giles Farnaby offended when that piece was called Farnaby's Conceit?
Well, I suppose Giles Farnaby thought he had something to be conceited about.
Well, he did, but that's not why. What does a conceit mean?
Well, did it mean a composition?
Well, it's Dennis May's skill.
Well, it's a sort of a fancy or a word I've never actually... I only ever heard Alan Bryan say out loud, a T-R-O-P-E, or trope.
Trope,
yeah.
Yes, a fanciful notion, witty thought, a conceit.
Uh-huh.
That's really nice. Your side got it. Dennis, your turn. This tune is called Watkins Ale. Dennis, the thing that plucks the string in a harpsichord has the same name as a flag, a tunic, a fruit, a vessel for carrying liquor, a lifting machine, a ball,
a card.
A jack. It's the jack.
No, Watkins Ale. We once got into trouble. La Belle Dame sans Merci. Yeah. We said that was a commercial for Watkins Ale because, if you remember, it starts, "Oh, Watkins Ale, the knight at arms."
Lovely. Over the years, musicians have been such good customers of pubs, bars and inns that an invitation to address the Licensed Victuallers Association should come as no surprise at all to a musical person. Ian, on such a visit, might sing to them that old song that ends D-R-I-N-K-I-N-G. I wonder, though, what else would be appropriate, or inappropriate for that matter, the Licensed Victuallers. John, what would you sing to them?
I don't know, but it's probably something published by Boozy and Hawks.
I'll buy that any time, yes, Boozy. Frank?
I think when the landlord's saying, last orders, please, last orders, you should remember the police waiting with the breathalyzers and through the Muzak, through the loudspeaker stuck on the flock wallpaper in between the framed pictures of the vintage cars, they should play the Ballad of Turnham Green.
Ian, have you performed? And so
well,
what did you sing?
Almost anything from the Tipsy Princess. And if it was one of the drinking customs of my native land, where they go in for beer and a chaser, it might be the hopscotch polka.
Oh, hopscotch, yeah, that's nice.
Or just a general one, a song which you know I enjoy singing very much, which might just be appropriate to any bar. Lean In.
Dennis, what would you sing?
Well, going to the inappropriate, two of the favourite inappropriate songs which I've heard people actually do... I haven't heard them myself, but they've recounted to me. One was a singer I know, a popular singer, not Ian's time, who at a maximum security prison concert sang, "What are you doing the rest of your life? there was another one with a band, and the band started off the dance by playing, "I get at a licensed victuallers. Yeah. I get no kick from champagne. Your alcohol doesn't thrill me at all."
Yes. Oh, lovely. Well, talking of drinking, here is a drinking song. You'll recognise the convivial style when you hear it, but what language are they singing in?
So ein Mischken kam am Wein, auf du Kanneken Wasser, Zorns in dem Mannestein, bei Nacht, bei Nacht. How to canikin proper Yannikin, how to canikin vaster, how to canikin proper Yannikin, how to canikin vaster.
Just a quick one-word answer. What language, John?
Well, now, I think it's the Seven Dwarfs singing a mini-singer's song.
Frank, did you get the language?
It's almost German, but it isn't.
Mm.
Good.
Is it the wrong half of Belgium?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Or Dutch?
Ian, any ideas?
Plattdeutsch.
It's not Swedish.
No. Dennis?
I would have said what Frank said, either sort of like Flemish or Dutch.
Yes, you mark each side. 16th century Dutch. a song from 1584, sung as near as the singers could get to the way Dutch was sung in those days. Oh. The order of appearance in these final songs is Frank, followed by John, then Dennis, and finally Ian. Frank first, then, with a song about life on Easy Street.
Easy Street, I'd love to live on Easy Street. Nobody works on Easy Street. Just sit around all day. Just sit and play the horses, life is sweet. For those who live on Easy Street, no weekly payments you must meet that make your hair turn gray. When opportunity comes knocking, you just keep on with your rocking, 'cause you know your fortune's made. And if the sun makes you perspire, there's a man that you can hire to plant trees so you can have shade on Easy Street. I'm telling everyone I meet, if I could live on Easy Street, I wouldn't want no job today. So please go away.
Ah, moon of my delight, sings John. Yeah. From a song cycled by Lisa Lehmann set in a Persian garden where he finds some of his suits. Bravissimo. Norman Long. There's a name to bring back memories for listeners to 2LO and 5GB and other transmitters of vaudeville, as it used to be called. Song featured by Norman Long, now for Dennis.
There's a smart little house in a smart little street, and the name on the gate is the Willows. There's a smart little maid in an apron so neat at the Willows, at the Willows. Folks think we are rich, but we don't have a cent, 'cause on outward appearance our money is spent. But we owe the tradesmen and we owe the rent at the Willows, at the Willows.
At the Willows, and so to Ian and the old house.
Lonely I wander through scenes of my childhood. They call back to memory those happy days of yours. gone are the old folk, the house stands deserted, no light in the windows, no welcome at the door. Here's where the children played games on the heather. Here's where they sailed their wee boats on the burn. Where are they now? Some are dead, some have wandered. No more to their home shall those children return. Lonely is the house now, and lonely the moorland. The children are scattered, the old folk are gone. Why stand I here like a ghost and a shadow? 'Tis time I were moving, 'tis time I passed on.
We too must pass on. The victory this week, a very tiny one, too, to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.